Does anybody know how to play Ultimate Frisbee? Know the rules, how to score, how big the field is? So put up those hands again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Karis and I and my kids, we've been playing and some other friends for about 4 years now. And there are two different leagues. There's the Winnipeg Rec League, and there's the Mods League, and they're a little bit different. But after 4 years, I now know how to set up a field. I know how to throw a forehand and a backhand. I said, Karis, you might have to catch. Before that, I didn't know, like, how do you score? How do you play the game? And if you don't know, and you've never played the game, if I said, no, here, grab the frisbee, go set up the field, you would say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how big the field is, or I don't know the rules. And if you're suddenly supposed to get 5 people together and play against our team who've played for 4 years, you'd say, well, come on, we don't stand a chance. To be able to play, to be able to do that, you have to know what it looks like. You have to have watched a game, have a bit of a practice, been told the rules, taught how to throw. That's better. And in reality, like that's in a lot of things in life, right? We need to be able to see, what does it look like? Don't just throw me out there and I don't know how to do this. And I want to say this morning that it's the same thing with love. That we need to know what love looks like if we're going to love others. We need to know and experience God's love if we're going to share it with somebody else. If we try to do something we don't understand, it's very hard to do. Not to say that we don't try and put in effort. And I think many of us here have experienced and know love. But I want to encourage you to, well, this morning, let's examine it a little bit more. We need to become familiar with it, to recognize what it looks like. In fact, if I was to ask you right now, what does love look like? What would you say? We just read 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go with that. Love looks like many different things. And love looks different for many different people. And people in the world will have without Jesus, people will have a very different picture of what love is than with Jesus. To duplicate something, first you need to see it. Who here could whip up a batch of bibimbap for lunch today? Wow! Who here even knows what it is besides her? That's awesome. We were at a Korean restaurant yesterday and had some bibimbap, and it tastes great, but if you don't know what it looks like, if you've never had it, never heard of it, how do you make it? To make it, you got to first see it and taste it and maybe learn the ingredients. And I would bet there are a lot of people here with the skill to make it, but not the knowledge. And how can I just say, go make it, other than for you? Go make it, and you say, that's unfair. I maybe could if I knew how to do this, but I don't know how to do this. Have you experienced God's love for yourself? Have you really experienced and come to a place even of trusting God's love deep in your heart? That is one of the hardest things in this whole love process. Have you seen it in other people? Have you seen God's love in other people? Have you expressed God's love to other people? In Isaiah, there's a picture of, one picture at least, of God's love, and we've seen some other ones. Let me just read Isaiah 58, 5 to 7. I don't have my glasses, so I'll just squint. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? In other words, is this all we do for loving God? Just maybe show up at church once in a while? Is that how we share love? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to harm, or rather, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? In other words, isn't it far more involved with everyday life? Isn't there a whole lot more to expressing a fast or a love towards our God? Jesus asks us to, and tells us to love our neighbor, our enemy. In 1 Corinthians 13, we had a great picture of what love looks like. And in that whole list of stuff, there isn't anything that's really mushy and real fuzzy. It's be kind, be generous, don't be rude. I think that many people in our society, in our world, need love more than they need anything else. I work at Silo Mission and see a lot of people in need. They need shelter and food and all kinds of stuff. But what they need, and what everybody here this morning needs more than anything, is love. Without love, we are broken, hurting people. And I would venture to say that all of us have some struggle with receiving love and giving love. And we worship a God who defines himself as love, unconditional, amazing love. I went to a Bible study with a guy one time who was a teacher, and in his class was a very delinquent young man, and I think this was like a grade 6 class. And he was constantly in trouble. He even started a fire in a lumber yard to try and burn down the lumber yard. So that kind of gives you a picture of this guy. He was in the hallway. He had been sent out to the hallway. My friend, the teacher, came to talk to him and grabbed him, put him up against the wall and says, "I love you." And the boy started crying. Probably had never been told, "I love you." Maybe a whole lot of hurt, a whole lot of evil and violence is due to a lack of love. Certainly see it at Siloam. I think a lot of the huge drug use in the world and a lot of unhappiness is due to not knowing and experiencing love. What would happen to Winnipeg if all the Christians became known as Jesus' disciples by our love? Wouldn't that kind of transform things? And I'm not saying that none of us do, or that as Christians we don't love. But what if people looked at Christopher, I can pick on him, and just say, "Wow, look at his love. He must be a Christian." Rather than, what does he do and not do? What does he believe? What's his theology? What clan does he belong to? But wow, look at her love. Wow, I want what she or he has. I think one of the biggest struggles in our world and in our hearts is, am I worthy of God's love? Am I worthy of someone else's love? I was working in the North End for a while with a youth organization, and I went to a media opening at Turtle Island for adult education, and they'd been going for a couple of months. And they'd put sayings up on the wall to encourage each other, to build each other up. And 80% of them were self-worth words. Like, I have value as a human being to get an education. I thought, I never struggled with that in my life. Do I want my grade 12 or not? Yeah, maybe. Am I lazy? Not, you know, that kind of thing. But never did I question my value as a human being to get education. People struggle with all kinds of things. The message to love God, self, and neighbor is a simple message, but it's very hard to do. When I'm feeling great and I'm full of energy and life is good, it's easy to love my wife. When I'm tired and grouchy and she didn't do something. I can't even come up with a good one. But but sometimes it's easier to love people than other times. But are we willing to love in the hard times, and are we willing to receive love in the hard times? It's hard to do. And how does someone love who has never received it or seen it? Who will show them? And we can't really do this loving stuff without being filled with the source. And this, to me, is the biggest part of the message this morning, is that for us to experience love and to share that love, it needs to come from God. It needs to be God. And God wants to express His love to you fully and completely. He wants you to receive it, and He wants you to give it out. What did Jesus say? The greatest commandment is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And to do that, we need to receive that love and recognize that God has loved us unconditionally and just fully and exuberantly. And there's a scripture, I think it's in Zephaniah or Zechariah, the Old Testament, where God exults with joy over us. Like, can you imagine that God jumps up and down with enthusiasm over you? Like, each one of you, each one of us. Like, God does a little dance of joy when He's with you. Like, wow. It's hard to believe, but that's the truth. That's what the Bible says. And it's also part of my experience. I have felt that love from God. We need to believe and to trust in God's love for us. And this can be the hardest part of the process. And it is the same faith and trust in God's love that the world so desperately needs. Far more than a handout or pity or judgment or finger pointing or ignoring. I heard this story one time. A man was talking about Aboriginal men and saying that a lot of them, one of the things that they want, they long for the most, is that when somebody passes them on the sidewalk, they look them in the eye. Most people will just, oop, it's an Aboriginal man. No eye contact, avoid them. And pretty soon you feel invisible, like you have no value. And that's, we need that same thing, don't we? We need that look me in the eye, value me. Karis is just looking at a book here this morning on Alzheimer's, a man that has Alzheimer's. And one of the things is that his value, he just feels more and more and more worthless and worthless and worthless. And I would dare to say that that happens even with seniors or people who become more and more physically disabled. You feel more and more, you can feel more and more worthless. And yet, you are not. And the Bible says that God loves you totally the way you are and unconditionally. And so there is that fight and that struggle even within ourselves of receiving that love and believing that love. And how much more for people who don't know Jesus, who don't know the love of Christ and have never experienced that. Let me just have a quick, no, not a quick read, it's a long scripture, from John chapter 15. And this talks about who our source is and also our mandate. And I don't believe that God's mandate or job description for us is a heavy thing of saying, you must, you are not, and why aren't you? I think it's more of a, you have an opportunity to join with me in my mission in the world, to be loved and to love, to be significant and to give significance. And to me, like, what a gorgeous thing. The God of all creation loves you specially, uniquely. There is nobody He loves in the world like He loves you. No one. He also loves the person sitting next to you, in front of you. You work, the person you work with that you can't stand. John Chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Right there, that picture. Remain in my love. Be in it all day, every day. Be in my love. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It's not build a rocket. It's not be the smartest person. It's not be an Olympic athlete. It's love. Something we can all do. And you know, do what I ask, and what I ask isn't hard. And I don't know, to me it's just a beautiful picture. To love people, we need to be present. We can't affect people without being present. And just good intentions and, oh yeah, right, I was going to send you a birthday card, or yeah, I was thinking of you, I was going to call, I didn't. Those are pretty small in value. Sometimes we need to just pick up a phone and call someone. Say, hey, how are you doing? And I'll confess I'm one of the worst for that. I don't like phone calls. And I've got a list of phone calls I should make that I don't. They're still just good intentions. But sometimes we need to get off our butts and do what we intend to do. And sometimes that phone call could be to a lonely person, or that phone call can be significant to someone. Or maybe it's something different. And we all have different lists of maybe things that we could do that would give value to somebody and make them feel love. So what did Jesus show us? He put us ahead of himself, others first. He came as a servant. I'm sure you've probably stopped to think about this. Christmas is a real reminder of Jesus being born in a barn, not in a castle. I mean, that's a real reminder, but that's how Jesus lived his life. And that same servant love is what he gives us today. And then he asks us through Paul here, therefore I urge you, brothers, to, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. Sometimes we need to just be a living sacrifice. And that's hard. This looks different for all of us. And it starts with our willingness. Am I willing? Are you willing? And I don't think we start with the hardest cases. We don't go down to the silo mission maybe and then start trying to love the most difficult people to love. But maybe we start with the people at work. People at home, the people across the back alley, across the fence, maybe even people in our own family, people we've had differences with. For me, the whole big thing is we need Jesus as our source. Without Him filling us with love, we have meager to give. But if we are connected to God, if we're connected to Jesus, our Creator, and receive His love, we can, out of the overflow of our hearts, love those around us. And I think we need some intentionality. I don't think we can just sit down on the couch, put up our feet and say, yeah, when God brings somebody in front of me here, I'll love them. We need to be active. We need to even say, God, show me. What do you want me to do? And maybe at work, we go out for lunch once with somebody we don't like so much. Or maybe we knock on our neighbor's door. Or maybe we shovel the neighbor's walk. Winter's coming. Can be many different things. But somehow to value people and to say, you are a valuable person. I have in my time sometimes said I love you to people and it's been kind of awkward and weird. So be careful. I mean, there are certain people in your life you need to say I love you to. And sometimes it can be awkward. You know, maybe you want to run over across the fence and say, hey, I love you. Run back home. But we do need to value people, and how do we value? We look people in the eye, and we say good morning. And a friend of mine worked with a guy who would never acknowledge him. He would say good morning, and he would just ignore him, like he had no value. That feels horrible when someone treats you like that. But what can we do to be known as Jesus' disciples by our love? What can I do? I want that. I don't want to. It used to be that I pointed my finger with all my great theology and, you know, I know stuff that you don't know and, you know, I'm so smart and you're not. And that doesn't attract anyone. That doesn't impress anyone. But when we love people, when we value people and give dignity and respect, it makes an impact. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to impact our world through your love. Fill us full of your love so that we can, out of the overflow in our own hearts, give that love to others. And Father, if there are any people here who are starting to feel like they are losing some value or worth in life as they are getting older and sicker or whatever, may you smile upon them right now and say, no. You are tremendously valuable and worthwhile, and I love you tremendously. May each one of us here this morning feel and believe and sense your love. May we feel your arms of love wrapped around us and know that our Creator loves us specially and uniquely and powerfully. Father, as we go from here today, may we be filled with joy. And may our lives bring you honor and glory. You are an awesome and amazing God, and it's a privilege to be your child and your friend. Amen.